This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Well, good morning to all on a Tuesday morning. Shadow camera, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. We got a 4-2 football team. And, of course, trying to, I think, was one of Sirianni's words, John, discern?
No.
What were his two words
Maybe.
Last week?
I don't know. I didn't notice.
Yeah, discern. It was wisdom and discernment.
Yeah, okay.
Wow.
Discern, all right.
Oh, you're so, right. Yeah, wisdom, good one.
Thank you. So we're trying to discern if the Eagles are good. They got a good record. They don't have a spectacular record, but 4-2 is a good record. We also know they just got there in part because they just played, you know, the Browns and the Giants back-to-back, which probably are two of the worst five in football.
We can use wisdom and discernment to know that those are bottom feeders.
They are bottom feeders. But we also know the Eagles played their best game of the year and cleaned up on the second of the two.
They took a bottom feeder and made them look like bottom
That's
feeders.
That's right. That's right.
We declared we are clearly better. That's right.
All right, so the Eagles' whole thing on the table. What do we got this year? It's been six games. Where do you stand with the birds? 215-592-9494. For more on that, on the Phils, on the start of the 76ers season. And it's the off season for him because baseball's done, but Ben Davis is never done with this. Good morning, Benjamin.
Top of the morning to
and
you.
And the rest of the day to you as well, my man.
Very good.
Thank you, sir.
Did it.
The rest of the day to our whole Philadelphia.
I'm so proud of
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, man. I figured after a couple of years, and I should... How are you, buddy?
I'm great.
So, do we have a good football team?
Average.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
Slightly above or average?
Slightly above average.
But more in the average range than the good range, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think
yeah,
that's...
I would say so.
I think that's fair. What'd you make of the win the other day?
It was a great win. You know, Barkley obviously was amazing. I mean, something like we've never really seen before. I mean, that was a juggernaut. I mean, it was literally a man amongst boys. Literally. I mean, you just don't see that every Sunday. And he just was dominant.
He really was.
I mean, dominant.
He really was. So Ben, let's sneak in a Phil's question. We'll get to the calls. And Ben with us for the next 3 hours. So it's been 2 weeks now in the Phillies. You were really fired up. How do you feel 2 weeks later?
I'm still ticked off. Because I see the teams that are in the World Series, and the Phillies have just as much talent. And I agree with Dombrowski. They just didn't play well when it mattered most.
So I made this point yesterday. I'll probably make it later this week before the World Series begins, and maybe even during the offseason, I guess. So the Yankees and the Dodgers being there gives me hope for next year because I saw them the last couple years get smoked in the playoffs pretty quickly, frankly. Does that give you hope for the Phillies?
It gives me hope, but I also see some where they need to fix what they need to fix.
Which is primarily what? The lineup as far as the free swinging?
The lineup. You look with the Dodgers, they just wear guys out. They just, I mean, their discipline is off the charts. And you look at that, and you look at the Yankees bullpen and how good and dominant they are, and realize that there's some shortcomings there.
I will say this about the bullpen. That's one, and I think this rarely happens to this extent, where going into the playoffs, I mean, I felt really confident. Like, let me put it this way. We were all entirely aware that the lineup could pull what the lineup pulled. Because they not only have done that at the end of Octobers, they've pulled that in Junes and Mays and Aprils and Augusts and Septembers. I mean, they do that. The bullpen thing shocked me. I know they didn't have a lights-out closer. I get that, and I get that there's a deficiency there. But, I mean, Strom and Hoffman, frankly, and Kerkring, they were three of the better relievers I've ever seen a Philly season player have.
Yeah.
And they were incredible.
Yeah.
And they completely, and I mean totally, fell apart.
Is this something that we should have seen coming better? Because, like, it does, like, kaput. Like, they all at the same time felt like the bottom fell out.
Yeah, you should not have seen that coming because they were so good throughout the course of the year. I mean, the reason they were all-stars, they were awesome.
Yeah.
And really didn't falter. And come to the playoffs, it was a completely different story.
All right, look, 215-592-9494 to weigh in on all this. We're going to get coming up shortly to what the Diddy said to us yesterday. Ray Diddy on the Eagles defense. Also, Paul George on his injury situation. Let's go to the phones right now. Rich in Northeast Philly. What's going on, Rich?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Going well, Rich.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Should I get my doctor first or just go to...
You can make your Eagles point first.
Rich, just go ahead, man. Floor is yours.
About, Jalen a little bit. What's that?
Just go ahead. Just start talking.
I think, you know how, like, not to compare to, like, Manning and Brady and all, but, like, Jalen just comes up to the line, looks around. Like, if he would just point, hit his helmet, do something, like, just to make them think something else is happening. Like, he doesn't do that at all.
He is changing plays more this year. I'd say he's not as demonstrative as some other quarterbacks about it. But, John, he is changing the play more. Wouldn't you say that?
Yes. And we have been told that in the past, when we had no idea, he was somehow changing plays with A.J. Brown. I guess it was with signals or something before the snap. Yeah, they can change plays. And he has been. And he, this year, has the ability to change plays more than he has in the past, because
I agree with
we
that.
Know that they're running the offense a little more in line with what the West Coast offense was, to my knowledge, where you got hot routes, you got sight adjustments. They are running plays that, you know, you got man beaters, you got zone beaters, you got two deep beaters. They're trying to do things a little more by the book. And it's great to see.
But I hear your doubt, Rich. I'm saying
maybe be a little more demonstrative and point at somebody that looks like they're blitzing, and then maybe they take a step back or something. I don't know. Just change it up a little bit.
Well, look, he doesn't have to be demonstrative for the point of being demonstrative. I think what your point really is you just want to see him discern a little bit more what he's seeing and direct out there as a general. And I would agree with that. I mean, I think there's steps he can still take in that regard. Rich, give me a great
answer. What's important is that everyone knows exactly where they're turning the protection. What's important is that everyone knows who the Mike linebacker is. Who's declared the Mike? Is it Cam Jurgens making that call? Is it Jalen making that call? We know that there's been some discussion. Who's the right guy to be making these calls up there? They could still be working through that stuff. We don't know exactly how they've settled on it. We do know, we've been told when we've asked, that that's all working out well. But it is a work in progress, just like everything else. It's a new offense with new young players running it.
Hey, Rich, what's the best scene with a doctor?
I think Dr. Jones.
Ooh. What's the scene? Yeah, Jones. What's the scene?
Oh, the scene. Oh, my God, I don't know.
All right, my man. Rich, appreciate the call. That will not be a winning answer.
No, it will not.
Dr. Jones, which is a shame, because there's about 15 different scenes from Indiana Jones.
There's a lot of them.
That maybe could have been a winner, but he couldn't come up with one of them. That's all right. All right, Seltzer, let's listen to Paul George. So, PG talking over the weekend. By the way, are we going to call him PG, Rhea? Are we in on that?
No.
He's not our guy yet, or is he? Seltzer, is he our guy now? I mean, like, or do we need to see him play?
Yeah, I mean, he's here for the next.
I know.
I mean, I'm calling him PG. Why not?
To me,
that's what we call him.
PG-13, yeah. PG.
Are you what? Are you resisting?
No, he's not 13 anymore. He's 8 now or whatever. So.
Oh, PG-8?
I'm going PG.
Wait, right. Joe, it sounds like you're holding back from... Welcoming him with your heart.
Well, here's my thing. I think there's been a couple things.
What?
First off, I we'll see how good he is.
And now you're kind of mad at him. He hyperextended his knee, so you want to hold back with
bit.
Your heart a little bit more.
You're mad at him?
No, I'm not mad at him.
Yeah,
but I'm mad about the
you're
situation.
You're mad at him for hyperextending his knee and not being available for the opener.
Here's where okay.
And now you're not fully supportive of our newest star.
Butthead, here's my answer to you.
It's true, man.
Here's the answer. I'm disappointed that I'm not more
excited.
Yeah. You know, 36 hours before their first game. I think that's reasonable.
Man, you are such, you're a curmudgeon. You're the fall Scrooge, whatever that would be, like the autumnal Scrooge.
Yeah,
no, I think when it comes to the Sixers team, I haven't heard one person go, yeah, man, I'm super stoked.
Rhea, it really hasn't.
No, because we don't know who's going to play. And frankly, we have a BG. I can't go with the PG.
That was another thought of mine.
Yeah,
because there's been so many of that through the years, and there was an RG3, and there's this guy.
It's PG, and then the rest of them, just they're Paul George.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, I'll figure that out as we go. Let's listen to Paul George talking over the weekend. So this is a couple days ago, but he had referenced how he got hurt, you know, that defensive play. He said it was, you know, something he'd done a million times, but his knee obviously reacted in an unusual way. But big picture, sounds like he's going to be fine.
I'll be back strong and better than ever. It wasn't nothing major or no concern to, like, I didn't damage a ligament. I didn't damage a tendon. It was literally just bone on bone bruising from a hyperextension. I'm going to be good. I should be back hopefully sooner than later, but it won't be a long timetable.
Okay, that's good. Again, that was a couple of days ago, and I'm sure he knows a little bit more now as they get closer to the first game. Let's also listen to the ditty. So the Eagles defense is one of the big elements of this team. Like, so goes the D to a large extent. It's going to be so goes this season. And I think we're all trying to figure out what they've got on D. It's been better lately. Here's Ray Diddy yesterday, you know, as we had Ray on the show, as he is every Monday after an Eagles game, discussing the Eagles defense with heavy focus on Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean.
I think it's starting to come together. One of the things that really helps is boy, the play of the two young guys is really good.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Mitchell and DeJean are... And, you know, I remember talking to you guys during the draft about how happy I was that the Eagles got those two guys, because that was their biggest area of need, was they needed players in the secondary desperately. And I thought they got the two best on the board. I really did.
Wow.
I thought that Mitchell and DeJean, in my grading system, such as it is, they were defensive backs 1-2 for me. And to be able to come out of the draft with both of them, I thought was tremendous for this team, and you're starting to see it.
John, I mean, we're seeing an immediate impact here.
That's what's crazy. You really can see how precocious these players are. They are ahead of schedule. And Quinyon, it was, I mean, immediate. He was so composed out there. And then it was like, I didn't notice him. That whole game went by. I'm just thinking back to, like, week one. The whole game went by, and there was no, you know, conspicuous, like, wow, Quinyon really got burned, and they were taking advantage of him. They were targeting him. There was none of that.
No.
And then you started seeing him come up and strike people. You know, like, this guy, he's consistent.
When he plays
this
with fire, good. There's an intensity
and then,
out there.
And then you start seeing some attitude burning through.
Yeah.
And you're like, I like Quinyon. But we're all wondering, what do we have? What do we have with Cooper DeJean? You know, if Quinyon's this good, we got Cooper coming too.
So far, a good start.
But he's hurt. Cooper DeJean is right, like, cut from the same cloth. Different skill set, of course, but Cooper DeJean feels like a linebacker at times, which is the way they use him. A lot of times in their nickel, they put him down in the box. He's that slot linebacker. Looks the part, plays the part, returner. Really skilled with the ball in his hands, but
great.
He wants to come up and strike people too. So their attitude sort of infuses that entire defense with this, I want to put my face on you approach. And I think it's a good thing. You're seeing the results. You're seeing the benefits across the board.
Big time start by those guys.
You always have to start talking.
Well, I'm a talk show host.
As soon as you
host.
Hear the music, you're like, talk.
Seltzer, on my business card, which I don't have, by the way, it says talk show host. I mean, what do you want me to do? Be quiet show host?
Yes, for like 20 seconds. That hard.
You think I'm a Charlie Chaplin? By the way, I bought a Charlie Chaplin book.
Don't care.
I'm looking forward to that. You know, I mean, listen, funniest guy in American history. You know why, Ben?
Funniest guy in history.
Because he made people
laugh
without talking.
That was the point. He wasn't talking.
The genius of making.
He can't be the funniest guy in American TV history.
Not TV, just American
You're
history.
In American history, he's not the funniest guy.
He got more
there
giggles.
Were no words.
More giggles per word than any human ever. I'm not wrong about that. Ben, am I wrong?
Oh, no, who knows?
No.
I mean, Marcel Marceau.
No, like
there
math.
Might have been others.
I'm just saying.
You can't multiply by zero.
Wait till I get to that
or
book.
Divide
Richie,
by
I'm
zero,
Buster Keaton.
It is. I'm going to drive you nuts when I get to that book. All right, by the way, my point is Turkey Bowl.
You could stop it. I drive you nuts.
There you go. Hey, Turkey Bowl is next month. Thanksgiving. Get voting. There's 14 different schools that are eligible to have Turkey Bowl this year. Seven different games. See those schools and get voting at 94WIP.
You got to vote, though.
You got to vote.
You got to vote to get your schools up and
you got to vote
in this.
That's exactly right. All right, let's also listen to Nick Sirianni. We'll get to Jaws. We'll get to phone calls. Sirianni, who will join us at 8:40 today, obviously talked yesterday, and he also talked Sunday after the game. Let's go back to Sunday after the game. When he addressed the concept of getting this win after the week he had, here's Sirianni 2 days ago.
You can be angry, but angry, all anger does is cloud your ability to, if you really are holding on to anger, all anger does is cloud your ability to get better, right? And control the things that you need to control. So what I said to the team is like, I put my head down. You know, when you have criticism, when you have those different things, you put your head down and you work even harder. And the thing about that is, you know, the hard work that the team had and that we had throughout the week helped put us in position to be successful today. And the other thing it does, to be quite honest with you, is it unites. You can look at it as a positive if you allow yourself to do that. And so I think that this game is constantly teaching us things, and that's what it taught me this week.
Good job by Sirianni. His team, they did a nice job on Sunday. Obviously, we look forward to having him on the show coming up at 8:40 today. Let's get a lot of calls in here. Jaws shortly as well.
I disagree with him.
On what?
He said all anger does is cloud your ability to get better, I think.
And unite, he said.
He did say that. And that's important, the uniting part. Anger is the core. It's the core emotion for football. Like anger is the thing that you have to control. You have to learn to control above everything else to be able to do this job.
No, okay. Look, I like your point. I will say, I think his point is if you don't use anger the right way, which he would be right about that.
He didn't do that at the end of that game.
He didn't. And there's a lot of athletes and people in all sorts of industry that anger clouds how they approach something. Now, you know,
he's also talking from a coach perspective. Like, football players need to be angry. Coaches don't as much.
I would agree with that. They're not the ones smashing their face into someone else. Yeah.
It's really tricky.
That's a good point, James. All right, let's go to Mike right now. Mike, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, gang. How are you?
Doing great, Mike.
We got life with this football season.
We got life with this football season. But before I say something, Joey, I just got to say a little congratulations on the Yankees making the World Series would be nice. It'd be appreciated.
Well, you're not getting that out of me.
I'm very proud of you. Stuck to your guns. You passed the test, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, the last thing I'm going to do is give you an attaboy to the Yankees. I mean, first off, you guys spend about $1 billion every year, and you finally made the World Series for the first time in 15 years. You don't get an attaboy from me.
Listen, you make a valid point. If it makes you feel any better, my girlfriend who lives in Philadelphia, she won't even root for the Yankees for me this year. So,
well, she tells me otherwise, but if you say so.
Oh!
Whoa!
Boom!
You can keep her. So, listen, we're all feeling, got a little bit of an exhale from this weekend from the Birds because they finally did what they're supposed to do, beat the crap out of a bad team, and I'm feeling great. I really do think this could be the start of a run. I said it last week. I think the whole thing with Nick kind of brought the team a little bit together, and I think we're going to start seeing that. The defense is playing very inspired ball. Listen, they're a good team. With the roster, with the offensive weaponry they have, I mean, just by default, they're a good team. Now, the next 2 weeks, very winnable. But they got to really get some stuff together. When I say they, I mean really mean Jalen. Like we keep saying that Jalen will get there. Jalen will use the middle of the field. Jalen will progress. But we're not seeing it. Like, we got to see it in the next 2 weeks because, look, Dallas is not going to be a cakewalk, and then we got the Commanders. So I really look at the next 2 weeks as, like, that's where I'm going to really start to see, okay, I think this team can get there. So kind of cautiously optimistic.
Okay, I think that's reasonable. Mike, give me a great answer. A scene with a doctor in a TV show or a movie.
All right, we got Spies Like Us with Dan Aykroyd and Chevy Chase. The theme is Doctor, 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 Doctor.
You got it, Mike.
Great.
Appreciate it.
That's a good one.
Great.
That's
great
a really one. Good one.
So, Ben, for you may not know, that last caller, because I'm sure this confuses a lot of listeners, Yankees fan, Eagles fan.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to tell you, man, but he's a good dude, and he twisted up all weird there. Hey, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin has the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. Today's poll question, two really important elements of this football season moving forward, Hurts in the defense, and we ask you, who or what are you more confident in the rest of the season? Is it Jalen Hurts or the Eagles' defense? Ben, what's your answer to those two?
Defense.
Why?
Jalen's just consistently inconsistent, and I just don't trust his arm. I don't trust his arm. And this is a throwing league. Like, you have to throw the football to win football games, and I just don't trust his arm.
Well, we'll see how people vote through the day. It's an interesting one because they're two of the more maligned either individuals or groups. And both obviously, you know, were part of the win the other day. Defense was tremendous. Look, the weird thing is the defense has had three great games. Three.
Mm-hmm.
Saints game was great. Browns game was great. Giants game was great. But we also know two of those teams are bum football teams. So
the Saints haven't won since then.
I know.
It's amazing.
And I was skeptical. Our injury's part of it, but
Saints. I know. I was skeptical going into that. Like,
felt like fool's gold.
Yeah.
But at the time, it didn't. It certainly didn't. Now, in retrospect.
I know. By the way, Brandon Graham joins us in about 10 or 15 minutes here in studio. Let's also welcome right now, of course, the great Ron Jaworski. He joins us every Tuesday at this time. We always
love
talking.
Good morning, everyone. Hope everyone's doing great.
Good morning, Joss. How are you, pal?
Just absolutely awesome. Going to be another beautiful day and get on the golf course this afternoon.
Charles, what are you hitting these days? Are you in about 81, 78? What's your average?
No, you know, I'm in the mid-80s right now. My handicap's a 14. Just doesn't go as far as it used to, Joe.
Yep. No, I understand.
78, that would be impressive.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Wow, Ron, that's strong work.
Well done. All right, Charles, so let's start with this. I have said for years that I believe the two individuals that get the focal point, more discussion about them than anyone else in Philadelphia sports, is the Eagles quarterback and the Eagles head coach. I mean, all due respect to the Sixers star, Dr. J, Charles Barkley, Allen Iverson, Joel Embiid, pick your guys, right? But quarterback and coach of the Eagles is like the main thing. And I'm curious, because you've been one of these, what is it like, let's focus on Sirianni particularly, the week he had last week, to get a win after being in the eye of the storm the way he was, what is that feeling like if you're that guy?
Well, obviously the feeling is good, but I think you have to be very, very careful never to get too high when you're successful and too low when things aren't going well. You're never as good as you think you are, and you're never as bad as you think you are. Dick Vermeil used to always use that statement. So that's kind of what I've kind of lived by. Try not to get too high when things are going well and puff your chest out because you're doing well, and all of a sudden things don't go well and you get too down. So I think being as level as possible is the way to be, and you are 100%. Correct, Joe. The quarterback, the head coach in this town on a football team are going to get all the praise or all the negativity when it does happen.
Do you, Joe, take a moment by yourself, even if you don't tell it to the world, and say to yourself, I freaking did it. The heck with those people for a week. They can shut up.
I would probably say yes to that, Joe. I don't actually remember that, but I would say there were probably times I said, you know, screw everybody, I can get it done, and I'm sure that's the way we all think sometimes.
Joss, how much better was our quarterback in New York?
He was good. I thought he left some plays on the field once again, and I also think I think we were fortunate that it was New York Giants, and you know they. Mm-hmm. They're just a bad football team right now. They have some talent, but they're a bad football team. But, you know, Jalen was sacked four times in this game. You know, he dropped back 21 times. He ran three times, was sacked four times. He really only threw 14 passes in the game. And our offensive line did not play well in pass protection.
Right.
In running, they were absolutely phenomenal. But I think I'm very thankful looking back at that game that it didn't turn into a game where we needed the passing game, had to protect Jalen because
right.
He just wasn't there. I mean, he was sacked four times early in that game in the first quarter. We couldn't protect for him.
Joss, you chalk that up to just the injuries and the turnstile, the rotating through of just whoever could get up there, or is this a problem that will persist and we need to address?
I think, you know, against a team like the Giants, who have a very good pass-rushing team, even without Thibodeau, they're a good pass-rushing team. But our offensive line just didn't play well, like I said, in the pass protection scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not the scheme, just individual effort. I mean, effort was there, but you know the skill wasn't there. The Giants had good pass rush pressure. But like I said, in the running game, John, it was just absolutely phenomenal the way they blocked in the running game. In fact, as I was watching the tape last night, and I was charting out you know, where the runs were going, it was a very diverse running game. And obviously, Saquon Barkley was through the roof, phenomenal.
Yeah.
But when I was done, it, you know, he had obviously had 176 yards. 96 of those yards came after contact. Think of that. 96 yards.
Wow.
This guy's a stud, man. After he got hit, he still gained 96 yards. But what was most impressive to me was, you know, 80 of those yards came before contact. So that means the offensive line was really road grading his way to getting a clear path into the linebacking core and the secondary. So those are kind of unique stats that jumped out at me after I went through the tape last night.
Yeah, that's wonderful. But I look at some other stats. We were 1 for 13 on third down. 1 for 13 converting third down. That doesn't win you many games. What was the offensive problem on third down?
Yeah, there's no question. You go 1 of 13, you're normally going to get a big L in that game. So we were fortunate to get a win against. And we got to be realistic. As excited as everyone is about, you know, play a couple wins, you know, outside of Carolina, we probably played maybe a couple of the worst teams in the NFL the last couple of weeks. So, but, you know, hey, that's the schedule. We're not making that to denigrate anyone. You know, those are teams that are on the schedule. The Eagles played well enough to win both those games. The defense is, you know, starting to formulate themselves into shape. The young guys are playing well. That's good to see. And Kobe Dean start to get some pressure on the quarterback with blitzes. So Vic Fangio's kind of mixing things up a lot better than he was early in the year. Very happy about that. But there's a long way to go, but it's nice to get a win. And kind of a win where in the second half you could breathe rather than hold your breath for every play that goes on. I was very, very happy and content with the win.
How important is it for this offense to score in the first quarter against the Bengals?
Oh my God! We're sitting all watching the game, thinking, "Can they please score? Let's get this 100-pound gorilla off our back, you know, and get a score in the first quarter, so we can quit talking about scoring in the first quarter." So it just didn't happen. So now we got to go on to the next game, see what happens against Cincinnati, and hopefully we can score in the first quarter.
Charles, we're all trying to figure out the why of that struggle. Do you have any theory of why that is?
I think sometimes you think about it too much as a player, and maybe even the coach. But I think some of it is scheming and game plan. I think the great coordinators in this league, the great coaches in this league, you know, some teams use the first 12, some teams use the first 15 to kind of script their offense. And I think, you know, to me, a lot of that comes to coaching. You know, when you can dictate to a defense based on what you found in film study, and you can get explosive plays early, you can dominate games early, you can get a lead early. I think a lot of that comes down to coaching. And obviously, at the end of the day, players have to execute. But I think it's up to the coaches to put players in a position to be successful early in the game.
Charles, let me ask you about the Eagles' defense here. And finish the sentence. The Eagles' defense is what?
Getting better. A work in progress. And we talked about it a little bit last week. I love seeing the young players. When you look at the group of 11 players, and obviously they interchange, but on the field, it's younger. It's faster. It's quicker. Yes, are they out of position at times? Yes. Do they make mistakes? Yes. But you see young guys flying around. They're only going to get better from that. So I think the fact that all these young players in the secondary now, the defensive line, the linebackers are young players, this is a group that has a chance to be really good as time goes on.
What's making them better tacklers now? It just feels like,
a month in. Like last week they actually practiced tackling. So maybe that had something to do with it.
Put the pads on. Wouldn't you think that they should go and practice accordingly? Like maybe during training camp, you could actually tackle guys.
Well, you only get so many padded practices, John. So don't get too excited about it.
But we never use them. Like we get them.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
We never tackle guys when we get those padded practices.
The only way to get better is to practice at it, and obviously it's not coaching; it's the collective bargaining agreement. These are the rules you got to play by, and it makes it very difficult to improve.
That is something else. So
I'm with you. We could talk about that all day long.
You're right.
It's not going to change. And I'm all for player safety. Don't get burned. I know you are as well.
Yeah.
But it's hard to get better when you don't practice.
By the way, I think John may not be for player safety, just for what it's worth. Based on what he said on the 8 years we've done a show, I don't know. Hey, Jos, let me ask you about Cooper DeJean. So I think it was pretty obvious right away this year, right away, that Quinyon Mitchell's a baller. I mean, you could just see it. The Green Bay game, you could see it. We've now got a couple games of Cooper DeJean. Not on the same level as Quinyon, but he looks like a baller as well. Do you think he's legit? Legit?
Legit. I totally agree with you. And I got to tell you, when I looked at Quinyon last night, he is now getting more physical, more violent. I would say, now I didn't chart every game of where he lined and what his depth was from the wide receiver, but in this game against the Giants, he was up in guys' faces, and he was knocking them backwards off the ball as a wide receiver, as a defensive back going head to head. So that was very impressive that he not only can play loose and cover, he can get in a press man-to-man situation and jam you at the line of scrimmage and not let you off the ball. That was impressive. I think the thing that jumps out at me, last week in particular, we talked about the three times he blitzed in the game. Finally, we got some creativity and safeties coming after the quarterback. He did not blitz against the Giants, but you can see the talent that he has. These young guys are flying around. They missed some tackles. I'll admit that. They missed some tackles, but clearly you'd rather see guys missing tackles going full bore than backing away. So I got really, you can probably tell my voice how excited I was about seeing these young guys in the secondary.
It's exciting. We have Sidney Brown also. I mean, Sidney Brown, we don't get to see as much of him. He's going to be more special teams and just in there every once in a while here and there defensively. But I'm excited about what he can bring. What are the odds?
I think Vic Fangio will find a way to get Sidney Brown on the field. He's a baller. And I can remember going to training camp last year and seeing him. I said, man, this guy can absolutely fly to the football, diagnose, fire his gun, and go. And I said, you know, this guy can be a tremendous player himself. And it's good to have a wealth of personnel in the secondary.
That's amazing. And when Vic Fangio, when his name was brought up, when Sidney Brown's name was brought up, this was maybe a month ago. He was still, you know, on the injured list.
Yeah.
Vic Fangio lit up, and I agree with you, Jaws. It feels like Fangio has plans for this guy because he's the kind of guy he wants out there, like Cooper DeJean, who just wants to strike people, and that makes you better as a defense when you got guys who are just tough.
No question. And you know, our defense is a read and react position. No matter what, lineman, linebacker in the secondary, read and react and fire that gun and go. And that's what I'm seeing out of this group right now. Now, hey, I want to see it, you know, this week against a good Cincinnati Bengals offense. We want to see it down the road when obviously you look at the Commanders. They're playing well offensively right now. When we get together against a good offensive team, a balanced offensive team. And by the way, speaking of balance, boy, that Baltimore Raven team last night looked absolutely unstoppable on offense. You know, they could run, they could throw, they could go inside, outside, they can power run, they can go deep. It looked like a complete team. We get to see them in a few weeks down the road. But boy, the Ravens did look good last night.
Charles, last thing here. You know, it looks like this season may be coming into focus as an Eagles-Washington division. Is Washington legitimate?
They're better. I don't think they're. I'll be honest with you guys. Quote honest, Dallas still bothers me. You know, they're and they always bother me. They concern me right now. Although you know they're playing poor football. You know, they've got a lot of guys that picked on the defensive side that are injured. They're going to get a lot of people back. It's going to. I think, despite the Commanders playing good football right now, I don't think they're at the next level yet. They're going to get there. The quarterback is phenomenal. Their offense has been very good. Their defense is suspect. They lost Allen, their defensive tackle, so that's going to hurt them. But I think when all is said and done, when you look at the rosters of both teams, I still think it's going to be Philadelphia and Dallas.
Hey, Jaws, great stuff, my man. We enjoy every time we have you on. Look forward to it next week and hopefully a 5-2 team. Thank you, Jaws.
Got it. Go Birds.
You got it. Thanks, there he is, Ron Jaworski. Let's go from Jaws, by the way, before we get to Brandon Graham, who's going to join us just in a moment. You know, Sixers have their opener tomorrow, and status of all sorts of players is up in the air, at least as we know it. Let's listen to Nick Nurse yesterday, 76ers coach entering his second season. Nick Nurse, status update on all sorts of star players.
Joel was in portions of practice today. Paul was not. Tyrese was a full participant. Jarrett was in portions of practice. Jarrett and Joel were in the same portions.
I know Paul's getting evaluated, reevaluated tomorrow. What's your optimism that Joel, Paul, and Jarrett at this point will be available to play Wednesday night?
What's my optimism? I don't really have a level because they said tomorrow we should have a good idea on all three of them. I do know that just, you know, personally talking to them, they all feel pretty good. But until I see them, you know, a little bit more on the court, you know, I can't really decide that till after tomorrow's practice.
All right, that's Nick Nurse yesterday. So, John, we'll keep our fingers crossed. And look, the good news is big picture. He's indicating if these guys, if they miss a game or two or three, you know, big picture, they're relatively okay, which is what matters most.
What we can gather is that it's likely Joel will be out there, but what we should expect is that there's not going to be back-to-backs.
Yeah, that's right.
Joel is going to be protected to a degree that we have not seen previously.
Yeah, no, I think that is accurate. All right, so, but they're feeling pretty good in that they're improving, and we think the Eagles are as well. Brandon Graham in studio with us right now, as he is every Tuesday at this time. Be like Brandon Graham, of course, with Primo Hoagies. You know, BG, obviously, and Primo for years teamed up together. Make your game day. Now, Brandon's not allowed to eat, like, on the sideline, like a whole hoagie during, maybe a little sneak it in a little bit, but make your game day where you can eat five hoagies if you want during the game. Make it epic with party trays from Primo Hoagies online at PrimoHoagies.com. It's not just a hoagie, it's a Primo. It's not just an Eagle, it's an Eagle legend, Brandon Graham. Good morning, Brandon.
Good morning.
How are you, pal?
Man, you know what? I'm feeling good. I'm feeling really good, man, because I know that we're building every day, every week. You know, we're getting better. Yeah, we got some stuff to work on always, but I like our attitude. I like the young guys. I heard y'all's like, yeah, them boys flying around because they understand it even more of where they have to be and stuff like that. But, yeah, man, I'm excited.
Can you take us? Go ahead, John.
Are you playing your best football right now? I watch you destroy people out there. I mean, you are crushing people. We're talking about, like, people talk about setting the edge. I'm saying, like, BG is taking guys and humiliating them, driving them, like they're trying to block them, and BG's just saying and locking them out and just
man, I'm just doing
flattening them down right into the ball carrier, like making the tackle with the blocker. What gives, man? You're like a super powered human out there, man, doing great things. Are you playing your best football?
I'm just enjoying this with these young boys, and they keeping me on my toes every day, every week. You know what I'm saying? I'm grinding just as much as them, trying to give them everything, because like I told them, I need them just as much as they need me, and we all in this together. And man, it's just so cool to just starting to see everybody just focused on their job, having fun out there, because that's another thing. We was just like, man, we gotta show our swag. We gotta go out there and do our dances and all that stuff, but we gotta make plays in order to do that. And so I think that everybody just up for the challenge, man, because they hear everybody. They hear it all. We can't not hear it in Philly, you know. And so, but at the end of the day, it's what you do. And so I'm just I'm proud in the sense of their attitude, even through some of the storms that we already went through. But we ain't done nothing yet.
Brandon, do you feel that the team rallied last week around your head coach?
I do, because for us to win the game and the way everybody was, you know, acting and critiquing, it's like, all right, well, let's go out here. Let's put one together. Because, I mean, y'all keep us on our toes, too. I mean, as much as everybody might seem sad about a win, it was just like, you know what? Let's go. Let's go show everybody what we already know. Let's just continue to stay focused on what we do. And even with Coach. Coach just stayed focused. He was like, all I could do is put my head down and go to work. And so that's what we did, and it turned out good on Sunday.
Brandon, is that sustainable? Is that you played, it felt like you guys played with more attitude. It felt like you guys were playing, you know, with a chip on your shoulder, in part, like you said, for your coach. Is that sustainable? Like, it's not going to be every week that everyone is up in arms against your coach.
Yep.
Might be almost every week, though.
It might be a lot of weeks.
The way this is, everybody's going to critique on something, but well, that's find the thing. Something.
It's not this week, though. Like, this week, people are feeling pretty good. You know, is this defense at a point where that we can expect a sustained, even performance again this week instead of the up and down roller coaster?
Well, I think Vic does a great job of talking about, hey, y'all done showed already what y'all can do right here. But, mm-hmm. you know, we got to keep that intensity up. He said that before the game, that our defense is going to be about who got the best defense out there, because Giants was in every game that they played this year. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. as much as people want to say they wasn't this and that, it's like, boy, this NFL team and them boys is streaky, and they got really good receivers. And I just felt like the guys just was focused. And I think Vic does a great job of keeping that focus. And now moving forward, I know the leadership on this team going to keep it rolling, because all I know is people got a taste of that success, you know, them sacks on the D-line from guys like Jalix. I know he's going to be excited the next time he get in there. And, you know, Nolan, like, everybody's starting to feel a little comfort, you know, and starting to put the work in. And I know the work that they put in is starting to show, but we haven't done nothing yet. You got to stay focused, and it's all about the leadership, and I believe we got some great leaders on this team that's going to keep people focused to keep it sustainable.
BG in studio, Brandon Graham, as he is every Tuesday at this time. You can join us 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Ed. He's calling from Phoenixville. What's going on, Ed?
Morning, team. Good morning, BG.
Morning.
So it was really interesting. I was listening to Midday Show last week, hearing Hugh Douglas defend Bryce Huff, and I found it really just intriguing. He said, like, there's no way the guy could get 10 sacks and not know how to rush the passer. And I just thought that was a nice little foreshadowing to how he did on Sunday. He's just looking a lot quicker off the ball. Feels like he's starting to hit his stride. So it was really nice to see him. And I don't know of a tackle who can block Nolan Smith if he's that quick off the edge. I mean, it seems like a pretty lethal combo.
I was very impressed with him the other day. I think Nolan Smith, I mean, Brandon just talked about it. I think he has, it looks to me, in the last 2 weeks, made strides. Now, where it goes from here, we'll see. But it's been a jump.
Brandon brought up Jalix Hunt also. I mean, Jalix Hunt ended up getting in there, and he got a sack. Mm-hmm. Like, he's doing stuff. That's good. That generates some confidence that next time he's out there, he
sure.
can.
But I will. But Ed, I will say this, to be even keeled about this. Brandon, who has previously announced that this will be his last season of pro football, may have a better chance to be in an Eagles-Giants game next year than Daniel Jones. So my point is, a little bit of a grain of salt. Brandon may not comment on that, but let's be real. Daniel Jones stinks. That guy stinks.
He's not good.
I got to really see what you were saying last week, so I can't really say. Let me see what
you're
saying.
All right, James, I need a roll.
I'm shocked Brandon's not going to echo your statement.
All right, James Seltzer. Who has a better chance to be in an Eagles-Giants game next year, Brandon Graham or Daniel Jones?
I think it's BG, and it's not even close. Yeah.
I believe you feel that now. I want to see what you say.
All right, Ed, I'm sorry. We keep yapping over you. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, and real quick, Ben Davis, we were over at my brother-in-law's house, and my niece's husband brought over Mets cornhole boards. And I told my 2-year-old daughter, don't touch those. They're yucky. Of course, she didn't listen to me, but I feel like I had to, like, instill that was not, it was just, I still felt triggered. I wasn't,
it was a learning moment.
I like it.
Yeah, teaching moment.
Raising them right.
Yeah. The problem is there's so many teams in recent years that have knocked the Phillies out. They're going to have a rivalry with everyone coming up in the next couple of years. Because this year, we got the Braves, we got the Dodgers. Not that they knocked them out, but they're annoying. Like, Ben, I don't even know Yankees, Dodgers, who to root for.
The Dodgers, obviously.
I don't know.
No, I'm rooting for the Yankees.
Oh, no, come on.
Yeah. I root for Aaron Boone.
Why? Because he is an Eagles fan, for what it's worth.
And James, for what it's worth, the Phillies have had a lot more history through the years with the Dodgers than
the Yankees.
I understand that.
And also,
but
the Yankees have won, like, the Yankees have won so much more than the Dodgers.
The Yankees need another one.
Yeah, I can't do it. And New York in general, like, I don't care about LA. Let them do their thing out there. Like, whatever.
Ed, give me a great answer. What's the best scene ever with a doctor in a movie or a show?
My patients are suicidal. Well, they're not going to feel a lot better if you get yourself clipped. Melfi and Tony Soprano.
Which scene?
the scene where she's lambing it and she's on, Tony's trying to get a hold of her and she's saying, my patients are suicidal.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yep. I got you. That's a
season
big
season two, maybe
season
like
two, I believe. Yep. Melfi and Soprano. It's funny. Yeah. Okay. I didn't know initially which one. Look, there's many scenes between those two, obviously. Let's talk to John at Plymouth Meeting. John, you're on WIP.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Always great talking to you. And I just want to tell you, I know it comes up as John, but my family and friends call me JT. So if you guys want to call me JT.
JT, did awesome. You say? With a T?
JT, John Paul.
Gotcha,
John
buddy.
Paul, everybody calls me JT.
Oh, JP or T? Sorry.
P as in Paul.
Gotcha.
So I called up Friday, and I was all about get rid of Sirianni. I'm still not on board yet, but I do find hope. I think Eagles did a great job. You know, the defense, man, God bless them. You know, no touchdowns in two games.
Yeah.
I'm not on board yet, but I find hope.
I think
find hope in...
I find hope that...
See, Brandon's laughing. I'm with you, JP. Honestly, that's where I am. I wouldn't say I'm on board, but I'd say I find hope. I agree with that.
Because you, I mean, honest to God, BG, you guys did your specials on Sunday. You guys beat up on a bad team. But that's a bad team. Like, you guys did a great job, but let's see if you can keep it going. You keep it going. I'm on board. I believe green.
You missed the boat already. we gone. We left. We on a cruise. We already gone.
That's awesome. You guys were talking about malls earlier and, like, dead ones, like Willow Grove. Well, I'm from Plymouth Meeting, and when I was growing up, the Plymouth Meeting Mall used to be awesome. I would, like, go there, hang out in high school, and now there's, like, nothing
you
there.
You hung out at the mall? Like, you'd actually,
not
like...
Not really. No, I didn't hang. If I had to go to the mall, I would just get something, I would go. But I would make, like, a couple
I hung out at the mall. Like, I'm talking...
Heck,
yeah.
Feel them on that.
Right,
this
Brandon?
Was,
like early 90s, now. Late
80s? Yeah, early,
that
early,
was
early
what you did.
I would go to the mall weekend. For 100%. A reason, but I would make a thing out of it. Like, make a couple, 2-3 hours out of it.
Yeah,
I get
it.
All right, JP, give me the best scene with a doctor.
Robin Williams, Patch Adams, when he's explaining like what a doctor does and what his ranch does and how they help people physically and mentally. That whole scene right there. Once you said what a doctor, that's the first thing I thought of, Patch Adams.
You got it, my man. Appreciate the call,
answer.
JP. All right, good stuff. Yeah, Brandon, we were talking earlier about the mall.
Yeah.
Like with Amazon and all, I don't know if the mall exists in 20 years.
I'm telling you, man. I mean, it was something that closed back in Detroit, so it's like, dang, places that you've grown up walking around, people watching,
yep.
I mean, buy a thing or two, mm-hmm. and then go to the food court, eat, mm-hmm. and then mom come pick you up.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
It makes me sad, though. It feels like the mall's like where I grew up. It's now like some of those stores, it's like they just have like tables inside.
Yeah.
Like they got there's the gate that's halfway up. They got just like tables in there. It's like a yard sale
mm-hmm.
in the mall.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or their seasonal
like half
stores.
The
like,
store. Yeah, the seasonal
like Halloween,
stuff.
Like yes. Halloween
oh,
stores. Like
that used to
uniforms.
Be, that used to be KB Toys.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
now it's like the Christmas spirit or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Come on.
It's like Halloween
it's
adventure.
Like
it's fallen
space in
so
there
far.
For a second just to make it look good.
Right. I know.
To keep somebody in there.
It breaks my
It's sad.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
like my childhood soul, like I once saw it, it now feels incomplete.
Look,
like
it's still
cracked and
it's still a thing
festering.
In December, but January through November.
You're taking this really hard, man.
Well, it James, it's like the newspaper.
I
it's like,
get it, but like Richie's like, it's like his world
mall.
Is ending.
The mall,
well, yeah.
man. I want malls to persist.
Yes. Like King of Prussia doing something right now.
They are. And I'm there every week,
sure
man.
Yeah.
I go there. I walk around. Yep. I love it. I take it in. I drink it down.
I'm right with you.
I want my children to love it, and I don't know if they do.
Are you a mall walker?
I absolutely
oh,
am.
No, you're too young for that. You're too young for that.
I might be. I'm 50. I think that qualifies to be old enough to be a mall walker.
A-R-P. John Ritchie.
You the one in there got sitting on the benches.
Sometimes
you put your
it's
Nikes.
Nice.
Yep.
You
put
it
your
is nice. Nice.
They be having the little massage chairs in there.
Oh, yeah, that's a great
stuff.
Break.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and sometimes you can score a massage chair even without putting money in. Like people get up early. Oh, what a
Do you
what
put
a
your Nike Monarchs
you.
On and walk around? I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
215-592-9494. All right, Brandon, so the Sixers start tomorrow night. Have you ever met Paul? I'm wondering if there's a PG BG relationship? Have you ever met Paul George?
You know what? I got introduced through text. Never met him in person yet, but I'm for sure when I see him, it's going to be all love when we see each other.
Now, do you embrace the PG thing? Like, you have the G market it. Like, you're BG.
Oh, yeah.
Do you sign off on PG? Or, like, where do you stand on that?
Hey, I like it, man. He has his own identity. He hopefully for Philly. He bring in the championship.
That's the biggest thing.
Everybody going to be saying, PG, yeah. PG.
Are you suggesting that Brandon block usage of
Here's what I'm suggesting. I will say this.
What are you saying,
I'm saying, I don't know who the first was, but about 15 years ago, this became a thing. And now there's like 25. There's CP3. There's RG3. Mm-hmm. BG, I consider you the godfather. So you're in. You get grandfathered in as the godfather.
Well, I mean, there's AI we did it with.
Yeah, but that's not the G thing, yes, but AI.
You said CP3. That's not a G thing either.
Yeah, no, but that's the three. But that's the three thing. Like,
and are we talking
RG3?
About the G thing? Or are we talking about
AI? No, but I'm just saying one begets the net. All right, here, what's my point?
My point is,
let's listen to KG.
Ah,
Kevin Garnett.
What a pro.
All right, Brandon, have you heard what Kevin Garnett said about Joel Embiid? Have you heard this yet? All right, here we go. Kevin Garnett, John, is wound up.
Always.
About Joel Embiid, who we all know, he ain't playing 82 games. He's probably not going to play 65 games. And Kevin Garnett had a lot to say about it. Here's KG on a recent show.
What do you think is a good number of games he played?
82 games, man. This is what the job calls for. You're not practicing. You're not even playing a whole You don't play in the summer. Right. I can see if you playing in the summer, you're on the playground, you went to the Olympics, then it's training camp. Y'all do 30 days of tour days. Okay, that's when you get rest. Man, I don't want to hear this man. I don't want to hear none of this can sit out a back-to-backs? Bro, don't, bro. Hey, listen, we done with that comparison of the era. We're going to respect this era and what it does, and that's it.
I think he deserves to be called KG.
I do too.
He deserves the G. He gets the G.
He might have been a G before you were.
Can I tell you something funny, though? I just pulled it up. After his age 28 season, he never played 82 again. It didn't come that close.
What was he near?
76 was most. He's down to 71, 57, 69, 71, 60, 68, 54, 47. So KG talking, I mean, just saying, you know.
He also went to around the age 40.
He did, but my point is from age 28, he was, you know, he had 82, 81, 81, 81 early on, 82, and then...
That's a lot.
He had a lot. His first, like, 8-9 years, he played almost every game, most of them.
Okay,
but then after that, like, the next 11 years, he didn't.
Right.
So I'm just throwing that out there.
Fair enough.
You know what? He got that money. That's what happened.
You're right, BG. Nailed it.
You know what he also
got? He also has a ring.
He got a ring in year 14.
Yeah, that's... Okay.
Which was, you know, deep into his career, and he got a ring. More from Kevin Garnett on Joel Embiid.
I think that's going to hurt Philly.
That's going to hurt Philly from a, not even that, but bro.
From a seeding perspective.
It's random. One night I got P, next P, night, next night I ain't got it.
They might put themselves in the position to where they play Boston in the first round.
Bro, the league that get might not be good. Control, bro. This is all over the place. Real and ain't nobody saying nothing.
All right, that's Kevin Garnett. A little bit of Paul Pierce in there as well.
The last point, lots of people are saying things. We talk about it all the time. You know what I mean?
but I will say this. We as a show here and as a station, I mean, Brandon, to your credit as a team, you guys have been such the focal point, and the Phillies to a certain extent as well recently. The Sixers haven't been discussed.
I'm talking national basketball coverage.
Oh,
it's talked about all the time.
People talk
about this.
Of course.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.